Dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to praise your name, to come together in forgiveness, to come together in the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you thanks for our salvation, thanks for all the blessing that you have been to us in these days. And we come to honour you, to worship you, and Lord, our desire this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up in this place, and that you, dear Father, will be absolutely free in that sense to be able to tell us all that we need to hear from you, to strengthen our faith, to glorify you not only in here, but in our daily lives. So, dear Lord, on that basis, and the commandment in the word to come boldly to the throne of grace, we come before you and we say, thank you, Lord, for your promise to be here. May we rise up in faith and in joy, and also may we rise up in that holiness that you have given to us as we come also in forgiveness. Lord, you have met our every need in Christ. May we reflect that in our worship and look to you to speak to us today. And in short, we just say, dear Father, take over this service for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Please turn to Romans chapter 3. And I'll be reading from verse 20 down to verse 28. Romans 3, 20 to 28. And I'll be reading from the authorized version because I believe it to be a very helpful translation of this passage. Romans 3 from verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask now that you would bless your word. May we understand it. May we leave this place being built up in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk this morning about peace with God. How can we sit down of an evening with a peaceful mind, knowing that all is well with my soul? How can we chase the torments away? How can we blow away those voices that tell us again and again of our guilt and how we have blown it with God? The prophet Isaiah tells us that God keeps a person in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed on him. Because he trusts in God, and it is God who is his strength. In Philippians, we're told by Paul of the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding. And the old hymn says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I would like to ask you this morning, is it well with your soul? Are you happy in the Lord Jesus? Can you think of what he has done for you, and can you smile? Or do you walk around with a long face like this? Remember our dear brother Bernard. He was saved when he was in his 70s. He was a man who we can say was happy in the Lord Jesus. You only had to hear him shout hallelujah, as we remember. You only had to hear him shout it, hallelujah. He used to phone me, all excited about what he'd been watching on Revelation TV about the grace of God. And he'd phone me up and he'd say, Ian, I've been listening to this, it's fantastic. And he'd tell me all about it. Tell me, can you sing, all that thrills my soul is Jesus, and know something about how thrilling our Saviour is? To need a Saviour, you need to be saved from something. And the Son of God became a man, and he died for our sins. Jesus, having to die so that we can be forgiven, should tell us something of how God views sin, about how God views my sin and your sin. That is what it took for our sins to be forgiven, for our Saviour to come and to die for us. Every sin that has been committed will be judged by God, and that is every single sin. And earlier in this chapter of Romans, chapter 3, Paul tells us we are all under sin. There is not one righteous person amongst us. There is not one of us who can say that we by ourselves are righteous. We by ourselves are right before God. There's not one of us this morning who can say that. Because by ourselves, we would all be going down a road that would lead to judgment. And when we take a good, hard look at ourselves, we can actually see it. We are full of sin, and all the good that we do has sin mixed up in it. So Paul can say in verse 23 of this chapter, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All of us come short of what God wants. If getting right with God with something we had to, if getting right with God was something we had to do ourselves, we would not only fail, but all of us here would fail miserably. So what man could not do, God has stepped in and he has done it for us. The Lord Jesus became a man. He lived a perfect life, yet he died a sinner's death. He died to take our sin upon himself. He died in our place as the sinners we are. And then God the Father raised him up from the dead. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we read of men like Peter and Paul proclaiming the good news that salvation from sin is in the Lord Jesus. Paul gets asked, "What must I do to be saved?" His answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins." And again they announce that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And it's still the same today. That is why, if somebody doesn't know him, if somebody doesn't know their Saviour, if there was somebody here this morning who did not know the Lord Jesus as the Saviour, they could put their trust in him and leave this place this morning with their sins forgiven. They would be right with God. They would be a totally new person in him. What happens when we believe on the Lord Jesus? What happens when we ask God for forgiveness and put our trust in his Son? Because Jesus has paid the penalty for sin, God forgives us. An old hymn puts it like this: "O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." That very moment. Not later. Not maybe when they are a bit better. But the very moment someone truly puts their trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, they are forgiven. How about that for something truly, truly wonderful? But what happens is actually even more wonderful than what is said in the verse of this hymn. And Paul tells us about it in Romans chapter 3. So let's jump to verse 28. And we are told, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, we are justified. Something happens to us that we cannot achieve if we try to earn it ourselves. Justified. It's a complicated term. What does it mean? Would you turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. In the early history of Israel, two men would bring a dispute to court. One would be in the wrong, and one would be in the right. Both men would be given a status regarding what they were. The court would not change them. Okay, the court would not change them. Rather, it would announce who was in the right and who was in the wrong. The person in the right would be declared so. He would be, and the term is justified, announced to be in the right. And something similar happens between us and God when we come as a sinner and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We are justified. We are declared to be right with God. We are declared to be righteous. This is far greater than receiving a pardon. A pardon implies wrongdoing for us to be pardoned. To be justified implies, I find no fault in you. This is far bigger, far more wonderful than just receiving a pardon. To be told we are justified by God. God, who is almighty and holy, more holy than what we can possibly imagine, totally free from sin, can look at us and say, I find no fault in you. And he can do that to all who truly put their trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. So God looks at you and me and says, I find no fault in you. How can this be possible? Go forward again to our passage, Romans 3. Because Paul tells us how this can be possible in these verses. Verses 21 and 22. Paul talks about a righteousness of God that comes by faith. It comes to everyone that believes, and it comes upon everyone who believes. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus, gives us a righteousness, and looks at this, and he declares, I find no fault in you. One by one, he can declare, I find no fault in you, I find no fault in you, I find no fault in you, I find no fault in you. And Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us that we get a righteousness that comes from God by faith. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says this, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus is our righteousness. God looks on us and he sees the righteousness of his Son and he says, "I find no fault in you." Would you turn to 2 Corinthians to chapter 5 and to verse 21. And here we find these words, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We put our trust in the Lord Jesus. He has taken our sin to himself and he gives his righteousness to us. We have a righteousness in Christ that is acceptable to God. You are trusting in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus this morning. Paul tells you, you are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus lived a perfect life before God. He exercised a perfect faith in his Father. He went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And on the cross he died. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And in the Acts of the Apostles, again and again, it was proclaimed, Jesus, God had raised, that again and again, it was proclaimed that God had raised Jesus from the dead. Why is this important? Why is it important that God raised Jesus from the dead? Go to Romans 4 and to verse 25. And here we are told the Lord Jesus went to the cross for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. Remember I said that to be justified is to have a status of being in the right. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for our sin, but had not sinned. Therefore, he should not have died. So God the Father raised him from the dead. in raising him, the Father was saying, I find no fault in you. In being raised from the dead by his Father, the Lord Jesus was justified. And again, we're told by Paul that those who have come to faith are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus has a righteousness acceptable to God. A righteousness of God. So we are justified because he is justified. God can look at us and say, I find no fault in you, because he looks at his Son who is at his right hand and says, I find no fault in you. What a wonderful means of a peaceful night's sleep. Verse 25. Through the blood of Christ, God's wrath is turned away from the believer, from the one who has faith in Jesus. And Paul uses a big word for this, propitiation. Here, it means turning away the wrath of God. Christ's death on the cross is a propitiation for our sins. It turns the wrath of God away from those who have faith in the Lord Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, we are saved from God's wrath and justified by the blood of Jesus. If you are trusting in the Lord, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus this morning, through Christ, you are saved from God's wrath. He has hung on the cross, condemned in your place. And you are righteous before God. The Lord Jesus has taken your condemnation upon himself and given to you his righteousness. Verse 26 of Romans 3. Paul tells us that is how a holy and righteous God, who must punish sin, can be both just and the justifier of the one who comes to the Lord Jesus. That is how a righteous God can look at you and I and say, I find no fault in you. Doesn't this all sound good? Doesn't it sound good?
Yes.
Come on, doesn't it sound good? Yes! It gets better. Jesus lived a perfect life. He exercised a perfect faith. He was 100% faithful to God his Father. 100% faithful. Not 99.99999. 100% faithful. And modern translations may have it wrong, and the old authorized version may here show more of what is going on. Romans chapter chapter 3, verse 22, many modern translations use the term faith in Jesus Christ. The old AV, authorized version, has a more natural reading. And some modern scholars are picking up on it now. This is how it reads. Even the righteousness of God, which is by not faith in Jesus Christ, but which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. A person who trusts in, a person who trusts in the Lord Jesus gets a righteousness that comes by the faith, or by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Here's how the authorized version translates a verse from Galatians 3. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our faith may be weak. It may be up and down. We can be strong for the Lord one moment and next moment fall flat on our faces. But the faith of the Lord, but the faith of the Lord Jesus was and is perfect, and his faithfulness is sure and certain. Even if ours at times is all over the place, his faithfulness is sure and certain. Have we understood this? Have we confidence in our standing before God through the precious Lord Jesus? An 18th century hymn put it like this. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. And Charles Wesley could write these words. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. And another hymn writer put it like this. My hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And after telling us all about being justified and having the righteousness of God, Paul says in Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through believing on, through trusting in the Lord Jesus, we have peace with God. this day, are you at peace with God? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Anyone who hasn't can know that peace right now. They can leave this place right with God simply by admitting that before God they are a sinner and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus, that he has paid the penalty for their sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The moment someone can do that truly, that very moment they are put right with God. Those of you who know him, are you at peace? Because if you trust in him, he has taken away your sins. And you are right with God. If you are here and your past haunts you, and you are always reminded of your failings, look to him and all he has done for you. Look at yourself and I guarantee you'll get absolutely nowhere. Look to the one who has made you right with God. To be right with God, it's the best gift we can ever be given. It is a gift we can't possibly earn for ourselves. The list of our sins will be piled high from the floor and up through the roof. There are many today hoping and hoping that they will win the national lottery. And oh, what they plan to do with the money when they win. How they can finish work. Wonderful. And it's all going to be fantastic. And sadly, there are many who go down that road and they find it's not as fantastic. It's not as wonderful as what they thought it would be. And there are many, many cases of people who would say, I wish that had never, ever had happened to me. It was a curse, not a blessing. But look at what we have been given. To be right with God. To be at peace, knowing that if God has justified me, if God has said, you're right before me, I find no fault in you, who can condemn me? And it's all because of the Lord Jesus and all what he's done and all what he is for us and doing for us right now in the glory. Earlier, I referred to what the prophet Isaiah had said. So fix your hope on the Lord Jesus, not on your own performance, not on what you're doing and failing at yourself. And he will keep you in perfect peace. You are accepted into God's family because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And God has given to you the Holy Spirit so that you can be a new person, what the Bible calls being born again. And as a new person. His Holy Spirit will give you the strength to live for him. And it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit can be poured out. The Holy Spirit can be poured out on us. And we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Lord Jesus is prepared to give us to help us to be the people he wants us to be. It's all about him, the Lord Jesus. He is with you and he cares for you. This is why he calls himself the Good Shepherd. His job is to look after you. Do you know him as your shepherd this morning? He doesn't just save us and leave us. He saves us and guides us and comes right alongside us. Will you let him be your shepherd? Will you be still and know the Lord Jesus is with you? Are you prepared to take on board words such as these that we sung on Wednesday night? The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing, note the words, I nothing lack, if I am his and he is mine forever. What does Paul tell us? Being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus, we have peace with God. Trust in him. Experience a peaceful mind and a good night's sleep, knowing that you're safe in him. That's the message I brought to you this morning. Just to say, I haven't come to this message easy. It's taken me years to come to this message this morning. I just, in finishing, ask you, is this going to be just a nice sermon? Didn't Ian do well? He overcame his speech and he said this and he said this. Wasn't he good? Or are you going to take this on board? Do you know it? Have you taken it on board? If not, will you make this message this morning yours? God bless.
Amen, Lord. Thank you for the precious words of truth that come to us again today with a freshness. Lord, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Hallelujah. We have been saved forever. The Holy Spirit is within us. Lord, we need to walk in that peace that comes from you. Thank you because on Calvary, every sin of ours has been dealt with. Lord, every single sin, every thought, every action, every word, every deed. What a salvation. What a joy it is to know our sins have been put away from us as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. We are safe forever, for eternity. What a lovely Saviour. What a precious time it was when we first turned to you and the absolute relief of sins forgiven and the confirmation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what a joy. Let us continually realise that that wasn't a once for all thing, although it was a beginning. It was a continuation of what's available to us all the time. We are divinely clothed. And we've been reminded of that this morning. What a precious, precious thing it is. Every single person in here who loves the Lord Jesus, who is born again, is divinely clothed. Lord, forgive us for the time when we act out of character, when we don't recognize it, and come and confess it. And Lord, it's a privilege in one sense to grow older, because we realize what a worse sinner we were. We realise he's teaching us things that we didn't recognise when we were younger. But how much more that speaks of the power of your precious blood, because you're still there. The power is there. The forgiveness comes. The joy comes. The presence comes. We don't deserve it, but we have it. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. We should shout aloud. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus forever and ever. Amen.